I am John, Wookiee impersonator and a Ladrin warlock with the Warriors of the Stars. Along came Jason, my bearded friend. Fabulous secret ideas were revealed to me the day he came to my house and said, I want to make a podcast! Only two others share this secret. Eric of the Loch Ness and Jacob. Together we started talking about toys, comics, games, and movies on the Super Awesome Geek Show!
Hello and welcome to another exciting episode of the Super Awesome Geek Show. I'm John, your host. Today I'm here with Jason.
Hello.
And we have a special guest, Jacob Stevens. Do you go by Jacob or Jake?
Jake, normally.
Jake's fine? All right. And Jake runs a website he's got called From Forlom to Zuckus. And why don't we start out with you just telling us a little bit about your website, your Star Wars website.
You bet. And thanks so much for having me on. But yeah, I run a website called FromForlomToZuckus.com, and it is nothing but Star Wars action figure, we can say love, because I'm a big fan. I've been a lifelong Star Wars fan. I've been a lifelong Star Wars action figure fan. And a few years ago when things were kind of slowing down after the episode one in 3D kind of didn't take off too much and we didn't know where the line was going, a lot of sites that I saw kind of stopped focusing on action figures and started doing other things like looking at the higher end lines or some of the other collectibles out there. And so I still wanted to keep alive the action figure. I wanted to, I wanted to read more about them and hear more about them. So I was like, you know what? I'll put up a site myself because, I'm not saying that I am the expert in any way or shape or form, but, I wanted to create conversations. I want to create product that are articles and conversations and pictures about Star Wars action figures. So that's what I ended up creating. And so from Forlom to Zuckus, you can find things like I do a Gold 5 report because I'm trying to keep you on target for what's coming out action figure-wise.
Stay on target.
There you go. I have collector's calendar, so it's like all like when waves are supposed to hit, when big Star Wars events are happening, movies, TV shows, what have you. We also have lots of fun featured sections. Last year I featured John Caliber had this great dial story that he had, and I hosted that for him that he created.
Cool.
I've been creating a filmography for when Star Wars action figures show up in film or television.
That's right. You were recently saying, I think I overheard you or one of the guys on the Galaxy of Toys podcast saying that you guys were putting together all the cameos of the Kenner figures, right?
Yeah, that's something I'm working on as well. Last couple of weeks I've been putting out a cameo here and there, and Kenner cameos are anytime an action figure concept, a Kenner concept, shows up in some other form outside of the action figure line. So, for example, there's some Kenner concepts that showed up in the Marvel comics from the 70s and 80s. And, there's concepts that showed up on the cover of Lando Calrissian's trilogy of novels. They actually used the reference art was the Kenner Falcon. So, every time I see, Kenner work and concept and toy design show up somewhere else, I call that a Kenner cameo. And so I've been collecting those, fun stuff like that. I want to appreciate all aspects of Star Wars action figures, both vintage and modern, because I'm a, I try my best to be a completist. There's a lot out there, so I have a few holes.
Yeah.
But I'm probably 95%, maybe even more, of the entire Star Wars line from 78 when it kicked off to, this morning I just ordered from Amazon the latest Star Wars Rebels Mission Series 2-packs that are coming out. So, yeah, I try to stay on top of all of it. It's your source for action figure love. We have some collector resources on there, too. We have a big, we call it Jocasta's Reference Desk, and it's all publications that have Star Wars articles or reference guides, or recently we just interviewed Mark Belomo and his vintage Star Wars action figure guide that came out just a few months ago. So, yeah, anything Star Wars action figure related, we cover it. We cover the cons, getting ready for Toy Fair next week. So, yeah, if you love Star Wars action figures, new or old, it might be a site you want to check out.
Yeah, I like it a lot.
I think
it's pretty cool. And speaking of Mark, Mark was on. We just recorded with him the other day. We're going to put his episode up on the 20th.
Oh my gosh! So. Can you comprehend the absolute amazing collection that man has.
Oh, it's got to be huge.
He's saying that he's trying to be complete from everything from like 1960 on. And I just, it's unbelievable. Yeah. I'm in awe of his depth of knowledge. Great guy, too.
Yeah.
Super
nice. Amazing. Yes, he was incredibly nice. Yeah, great guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Jason, yes. In case you were wondering, Joe Casto was the Jedi archivist inside the library cool. there in the prequels, yeah. right? That's mm-hmm. the right one, right?
And Jason, I take it you're more of an OT fan than a prequel fan.
Yes, a little bit. Yes.
Okay.
Yes. I like the Clone Wars.
Okay. So there's some prequel love in there a little bit, but yeah. How are you liking Rebels?
I stopped watching. I think I watched two episodes, and it's not that I didn't like it. It's just I guess I didn't like it because I didn't go back and seek it out again.
Sure. It's a well. If you do like the OT, it's been packing itself full of lots of original trilogy characters. Now we had Lando last episode. We're getting Tarkin this episode. So it's definitely starting to kind of cater a little more to the OT fan.
It'll probably be another show I kind of don't watch, and then I will binge watch on Netflix in one sitting.
You bet.
I'll turn the light off on the cricket cage because I guess they're chirping again.
I did.
I don't know if you heard them, Jacob, but Jason just cleaves out crickets.
I thought you were
crickets.
Just bored, but that's fine. No.
No, I have a gecko named Lindsay, and she got some crickets the other day, and she hasn't eaten them all, and they're exceptionally loud this time.
That's my wife's name, Lindsay. That's funny. We just... Oh, Lizzie.
Well, it's Lizzie, not Lindsay. Yeah.
We just got a chinchilla, so we're having all sorts of fun with the exotic pet of a chinchilla, which we found out is nocturnal.
Yes. Those things are so soft,
insane,
aren't they?
Insanely soft, yes.
So you have a daughter? Is that
Yes, I have a daughter and a son. So, yeah.
And they love
it's her chinchilla. We made her save for it for a long time, so she would take good care of it when it finally came. So it came just day after Christmas. So, yeah.
Cool. Well, guys, Star Wars was on my mind lately because it seems like everyone is talking Star Wars. Like, the other day, I'm going to share this with you for just a moment. The other day, I was at Fred Meyer, and I happened to see they have this new Rebel troop transport in Lego. Or no, it's Imperial troop transport, and it came with 4 stormtroopers. And I've been bidding on stormtroopers. I don't really buy a whole lot of Lego. I just get like 1 or 2 figures of the minifigures when I see them that I really want. And I've been trying for a stormtrooper for a long time, and a lot of times they go for $8 to $10 on their own. And they had this pack on sale for $9.99. And I get to the register, and the guy at the register is like, oh, cool. And I was like, yeah, 4 stormtroopers in one little box. Can you believe that? And he's like, wow, and they're on sale too, And then he just started geeking out with me for like 5 minutes about Star Wars and the new trailer, Abrams, what he's doing with it, and all this stuff. And it just got me thinking, everybody has Star Wars on their mind. I asked him if he was a collector, and he said no. He's like, I've just seen the trailer, and it's just been on my mind. I've just been thinking about it and saw you with the Star Wars stuff, so I figured you'd know something. And that's kind of why I wanted to invite Jake on the show and just start talking Star Wars, because running the website and everything that you do, I know you've got a lot more knowledge probably than I do of what's going on and things. And plus, I thought we'd have some fun with a few questions that some friends shot at me and different things that I've been thinking about. So that's why I wanted to have you on the show and geek out about
absolutely.
Star Wars for a little while.
It is a true passion of mine, and so I appreciate the invite. I mean, in addition, as you know, I think you mentioned it earlier, I'm also a co-host on Galaxy of Toys podcast, and that's where we just talk about not just Star Wars action figures, although that's a big part of it, but we talk about all sorts of Star Wars-based toys, whether it's role play or 12-inch or, what's new coming out at, toy shows and whatnot. And then I also run a separate podcast. It's on the Galaxy of Toys network. It's called Star Wars Spinner Rack, and that's where me and a couple guys from Galaxy of Toys, I'm the host of that show, and we talk and break down each month's Star Wars comics. So
I also listen to that, too.
And then being in Seattle, I'm a long-standing member with the Seattle collecting group called Sarlacc, Seattle Area Lucasfilm Artifact Collectors Club. It's a mouthful, but yeah.
A and the R are from Area. Okay, because I was trying to explain to someone how it perfectly matches to Sarlacc, and I was like, and I couldn't remember what the R was.
The R is the trick, but yeah. So that's a group I'm in with bunch of people, and there's some, you know, pretty renowned collectors out there. If you know the Star Wars collecting world, Gus Lopez is actually the founder of the club, and we just celebrated our 20th anniversary of that this past summer, and we had a huge party. So, yeah,
wow, it's
actually
been around 20 years.
It's
Holy cow.
The oldest collecting club in the state, not in the state, in the country.
Wow.
Yeah, so we've weathered the good and the bad, you know, because, you know, not everyone's a prequel fan and not everyone's a Clone Wars fan. And, you know, up until, a year and a half ago, we thought Star Wars was kind of starting to go into another dark time. And now look at us. It's on, like you said, everyone's mind.
Yeah. Well, it's funny that you say that. I didn't realize that you were the longest one in the country, you're thinking, right? Because I was in one that probably started in the late 80s. In early 90s, maybe, when I lived in Rochester. By the time I moved out here, it had dissolved. I still have my little membership card from it. We gave out membership cards. It was funny. And we have our little newsletter. It was called The Comm Link.
That's a popular name now, too.
Yeah, of course. It'd be cool to see what... I've always wondered what happened to all those guys. But I'm glad to have joined your club, because I joined Sarlacc just about this past couple months, right? And then I'll go to the first Sarlacc meeting... I guess at the end of February here, right?
Mark Schroeder. He has an amazing, absolutely amazing carded vintage collection. It is unbelievable. It's displayed in five different rooms in his house, and it is just, you know, carded Power of the Force, you know, every figure you can possibly imagine. It's breathtaking.
Oh, cool.
You're into that.
I will look forward to seeing that. Yeah, I've got about 30 or 40 of them myself, and that's one of the collections I've been trying to... If I can be completist about anything Star Wars, it's going to be my vintage line, but it's starting to cost me some bucks.
People who are trying to pursue a carded vintage collection now, you need to either, you know, be prepared for a second mortgage or come for good money.
Yeah, I was shocked when I saw that Palitoy Boba Fett go at auction for, $27,000?
Yeah, I try to be a completist with what stuff's coming out now, but even that can be difficult at certain times of the year when they try to dump everything. But on a meager teacher's salary, I'm a middle school teacher, and so it gets hard, and I couldn't comprehend, you know. At $10 a pop right now to figure, it can get hard when they release a bunch at a time. But imagine, you know, like you said, thousands of dollars for one or two figures. It's a whole nother ball game.
Yeah, there's probably a few that I'm going to have to come to the realization that I'm just not going to be able to get, but that's okay. I guess I don't have to have it 100%, right? I got them all loose, right? So, if you don't mind, I'd like to run into a few questions. I just had a few things that were shot at me from friends and different people that I've talked to in the last few months, and I thought it'd be fun to go through some of these, if you guys are cool with that. So the first one comes from Jennifer, a coworker of Jason and ours, and Jason and mine there, and... she asked me one day, because I don't know if you've seen it yet, Jake, they have a actual bag made now where you can get the strap as a bandolier strap from Chewbacca, and the bag looks just like Chewie's bag. It's like an actual usable item, but it looks exactly like the bag that Chewbacca wore
in
the movies.
I fawned over it at my local comic book shop. They have a couple.
Yeah.
Atomic Comics.
Oh, they do. Where's that?
Yep.
Okay, you go to Atomic, yeah. I haven't been to a lot of the places
in
Tacoma.
Come down, we'll do a tour. We can hit Atomics, we can hit a couple of the toy shops. They have some antique malls that have some pretty good toy displays around here, and so, yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah, that'd be cool to do sometime.
Shane runs Atomic Comics, and for the release of Star Wars Marvel Comics coming back just last month there on January 14th is when Star Wars number one came out. He displayed, or actually hired an artist to come in and use reference art from the films. And what he had done is he had bought the huge, huge Millennium Falcon that hangs in Toys R Us back in the 90s. You remember that really huge?
Uh-huh.
Yes.
The really gigantic thing,
A thousand of them made, I think. And they were on display all over the countries. And then they also sold or gave away a few. Anyway, he got his hands on one, and he had an artist come in and use reference art and actually deco it like the film.
Wow.
So now it's this accurate.
Really?
It's unbelievable. They did a great job. Unbelievably realistic, you know, and Hasbro was the one that made that, you know.
I mean, wasn't that thing around 6 feet or something in diameter? Yeah,
and he had it on display for the first time as his little Star Wars debut party for the Marvel Comics. And he said it'll be back in March. This is the only day it's on display because he's going to have it mounted, set into the ceiling.
Oh, wow.
It's pretty amazing. So.
Wow. Yeah, a lot of comic stores had like a mm-hmm. party, yep. and, like a
you got
release
the free
party,
lithograph
right?
By Katie. Oh my gosh, just you know when I talked about it on my show too, I couldn't remember Katie Cook. Katie Cook, there it is. I got it. Katie Cook had the lithograph,
yeah,
and
Katie
then they
Cook.
Gave away three buttons that for advertising the upcoming comics, and then of course they had the myriad of variant comics. Okay. No other comic that yeah. I have ever heard of had over 110 variant covers like this one did.
You know, speaking of,
I
which
ended
covers
up grabbing
did you grab?
The normal, of course. It's the reader. I absolutely, yeah. of course, had to have the Kenner Vintage action figure tribute. Did you see those ones where they're, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Did you grab the Luke or the Han? Now, Star Wars number one had the Luke, right?
Yeah, Star Wars number one. Han Solo came out last week with Star Wars number two. Darth Vader comes out this
okay.
coming week with Darth Vader number one. And they just announced this weekend Princess Leia is coming out with Princess Leia in March. So we're up to four of the first 12 Star Wars action figures from Kenner being replicated here. So
yeah,
I did pick up the Han. I picked up the previews, Toy Fair exclusive. I know Toy Fair is still next week, but they released it to some site, some shops to get. And that's the one that's made with Star Wars 6-inch Black Series figures.
Yeah.
Had to have that one.
Oh, yes.
Had to have
okay.
the Jackson
yeah. Yeah.
because I'm hanging on to hope Jackson, the green rabbit from the vintage Star Wars, could make a comeback.
Yes, yes.
Yep.
I grabbed
my
that
Loot
one
Crate
myself.
Sent
yeah.
me one. Yep. And then I was tempted
yeah, I
to pick
one.
Up the one when we saw each other last week at the EMP. The Star Wars costumes, Power of the Costumes exhibit opening party, but they had raised the price.
Yeah.
It was $25.
Yeah, the price tag. Yeah, the price tag threw me off. I was prepared to grab one, and then when I got to the register with it, and they were like $25. I was
yeah,
like, whoa,
no,
wait
well,
a minute. Okay, no, sorry.
When that first debuted, it was not $25. Because I had a buddy on the East Coast say, hey, could you pick me up one? I went, well, actually, it's on their website. I think it was 10 or 15. And he goes, hey, thanks. I just ordered three. And I was like, cool. I'll pick one up when I'm there for the grand opening party for the costumes exhibit. But I got there. It was 25. I'm like, I'm good.
Yeah. I grabbed the Scotty Young because I want to get all three of the Scotty Young ones and put them together.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Because, yep. How much were those going for you,
yeah.
the local?
Well, my local shop here, I go to Alter Ego in the Bellevue Crossroads Mall, and the first day, they don't mark up their variants, so you get it for cover price. And then I think they do that for people who are subscribers. And then the ones that come in the next day and want to pick them up off the back wall, then they start doing the higher prices. And I honestly haven't looked at, I think they had the Han Solo one. And I saw it there, but I didn't realize it was number two. And I think they had $20
yeah,
on it, if I remember.
It really depends on where you go, because I know Ryan from Galaxy of Toys podcast, he picked it up for cover price. And I know at my comic book shop, I paid $12 for the Han. So it really just depends where you go and what they're
sure,
putting. And you're right, Scotty Young is the name
yeah,
of the artist
yeah.
that did the lithograph. I was wrong with Katie Cook. You're right, Scotty
oh,
Young.
Okay.
Correction on
okay.
my earlier statement.
Yeah, okay. I like it when they make those connecting covers, and I thought once I get all three, because they'll do mm-hmm. one for the Darth Vader and one for Leia, and I could put them framed and
very
stick
cool.
them together.
The question
in one
is, what
big
will
picture.
They do in April when the Kanan from Star Wars Rebels comic comes out? Will they put Kanan on a vintage card? We'll see.
Interesting. Well, speaking of that bag, which got us going on all these other Star Wars toys and comics and things, what Jennifer asked us at the store one day was, what is inside Chewie's bag? And I started thinking about it for a little while, and I talked to Jason about this at work. We were talking about possibly doing another show on it, but on different weird questions that we would ask. But I thought I would hit you up with this, since we're talking Star Wars. And is there anything canon or in like the Star Wars lore that actually tells us what is inside his bag? That you know of?
Not that I could find. Now, I was going to get out that visual guide that I was talking about earlier, but time got away from me, and next thing you knew, you were Skyping me, and I was like, darn it, I didn't go down to look yet. So I was going to look at that. I did Google it, because I came up with my own idea, but then I was like, well, I want to know what's in it. And
yeah.
Google didn't provide me anything solid that I was like, oh, that makes sense.
Yeah.
It's just a bunch of discussion in forums where people are saying, I think this, I think that. So it's a pretty darn good question.
Yeah, it got me thinking, like, it would be fun to sort of think about it for a little while and just see what kind of things we could come up with. Because, like, one of my thoughts was, you know, like helping Jason with the Mowich software company, you know, I was thinking, I was sitting there one day going through all the paperwork and the taxes and getting everything ready for this business and everything. And I'm going, you know what? Han and Chewie had this smuggling adventure, you know, going on, this endeavor that they had. And I was like, one of them has to keep track of all the paperwork and the things that are, you know, the day-to-day workings of the business and everything that they got. You know, Han's just the rough-and-tumble smuggler. He's just getting contracts here and there and just flying off the handle and going wherever he wants. So Chewie's got to be the responsible one. And he's the one that has all the paperwork in the bag. That's what's in that bag.
So it's like his briefcase.
Yes. And then it got us thinking, like, could you see him sitting there with some eyeglasses on doing taxes and being like, oh, let's see, we got to work this out here. Hey, we didn't get paid for that last thing. He's running invoices and stuff.
I would like to see Chewie's furry paws trying to manipulate paper.
But it got me thinking, like, what do you guys think? What do you think? Go ahead, Jake.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Wasn't sure. I'm going to guess it's obviously not anything too valuable or important because they never confiscate it from him. Because if I'm right, does he have it in Jabba's dungeon or does he not have it? Oh, gosh, now I can't think of it. Does he have it?
I feel like he's always got it. You're right.
I feel like he does, too. And I'm thinking if it had something that was, you know, a weapon of some sort or, you know, it brings up the question. I always thought it was a bandolier he was wearing that was attached to the satchel, and that all those cartridges on there were like bullet packs, you know, like power
for
packs.
For the bowcaster,
but,
right?
But would you throw someone in a jail or hold someone? I mean, because he had it on when he was being escorted through the Death Star. He had it on, I believe, when he was in Jabba's palace. When Vader took them captive on Bespin, he has it on. So, you know, you would think if it was something that was explosive and him being mechanical, you probably wouldn't let him wear a bunch of bullet packs or ammo on his chest.
Huh.
So I'm going to come up with it's got to be tools because he's the one that's seen working on the Falcon nonstop, and we know that his, you know, at least, well, I guess in what used to be the expanded universe, we're now calling Legends, that he was, you know, pretty mechanical and fixed the Falcon quite often when it was misbehaving. So I'm going with tools.
Jason, what do you think?
I think it's like religious relics.
Ooh, that's where he keeps his Life Day crystal ball.
Well, I envisioned were the like those stones from Temple of Doom. You know, those glowing stones. He goes in the back room and does some kind of ritual and they glow.
Yeah,
I like that.
So you're trying to say that Chewie was with him when he was in his early days as Indiana Jones.
We could tie it all together, yeah.
wasn't there something in at one point that did say that Chewbacca, like Indiana Jones, ends up like on Earth or like Han and Chewie crash on Earth or something, and then Indiana Jones finds him as Bigfoot?
It was a Star Wars Tales comic. So if you read Star Wars Tales, it was like a collection of little, you know, stories that came out each month in this extra big, you know, comic. And one of the stories was, you know, Solo was going through a jungle and comes across the fallen Falcon, and inside it was a skeleton of Solo in the seat, and then, you know, the rumors and of Sasquatch being alive in the area was something he started looking around for. So, Star Wars Tales by Dark Horse.
It's a fun take on it.
It's awesome.
Chewbacca is Bigfoot.
It's not far. I mean, you've seen that. You know, a lot of people have done that sketch of, you know, they put his, they've done Chewbacca walking like the classic snap of that iconic.
Patterson-Gimlin film, right? Yeah. So, you know, Jake, the other thing I wanted to get into, too, was since you collect, obviously.
More than I should, yes.
I always like talking to collectors and finding out if there's anything that you wanted as a child but never got, like your parents. You've been collecting since you were a kid, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And it's not, like, Star Wars was one iceberg. I mean, we can go deep into G.I. Joe and Centurions and Sky Commanders and Starcom, Battle Beasts, GoBots, Transformers. Yeah, I got a pretty full garage of childhood toys. Oh, tons of He-Man.
Thundercats.
He-Man, Silverhawks.
Oh, yeah.
I've seen. Yeah. Yeah, don't even get me started that they canceled the Thundercats, right? Right when they could have had the best crossover of all time.
Oh, I know, right? You mean the newer ones?
Yeah, the new series of Thundercats that came out probably, 4 years now?
Yeah,
but they previewed Tiger Sharks in there and Silverhawks.
Silverhawks.
And Monstar in there, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's my wheelhouse. 80s, late 80s. Actually, though, early 90s is pretty strong for me, too, because I did Star Trek. Playmates, Next Gen, tons there.
Oh, yeah.
Turtles, lots of turtles. So,
wow, you've got a lot then.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I pared most of those collections down to have a representative few.
Cool.
I don't have the space. Well, what happened was I moved out here with a U-Haul truck full from floor to ceiling, front to back, and a trailer on the back of my brother's pickup truck that was floor to ceiling, front to back. And after moving that 3,000 miles, and then since living in Seattle for the last 10 years, I have been moving from apartment to apartment until I finally settled where I am. I just one day went, you know what? I have way too many toys, because they were stacked in boxes like living room, bedroom. They couldn't fit in the closets. It was like, so I pared it all down, and the only thing I didn't get rid of was Star Wars, and I have a pretty good size amount of Transformers, but everything else got pared down to a representative few. Characters I really loved and couldn't part with is about all I have left of some of those other lines.
That's understandable. Oh. Understandable. And I know it's one point I had 3 storage units because I was living in an apartment and I was just like, this is not right. And so when I moved into a house, I moved as much into the garage that I wanted, and I've been working toy shows to kind of what I call selling my over collection.
Yeah, right. But so it always makes me wonder, like, what did you want as a child that you never got when you were a kid? And then is there a story behind it, like a reason why you never got it, and then, or any kind of story behind it? And then did you later on grab one as an adult?
All right. I have the luxury. My parents were no way in any shape of the form rich, but I was still spoiled, nonetheless. I was still spoiled because all those lines I listed off earlier, yeah, mom and dad put those under the tree at Christmas or for my birthday, or, you know, my mom's really into holidays, and so we would get little things at, like, Valentine's and St. Patrick's Day, and so I got a lot of, and she enjoyed looking for things for me. I was like, Mom, this, you know, I just saw on the back of the package that so-and-so is out, and she would go and look for it for me and, you know, buy it because I was just a kid. So I was very, very fortunate as a child to have a lot of toys. And so I didn't want too much. There wasn't too much that I wanted, but I tended to get smaller toys than larger toys, except for Star Wars. For some reason, for Star Wars, I had the AT-ATs and all the big ships and the play sets and stuff. But I didn't, in other toy lines, like specifically G.I. Joe, I didn't get the big, big stuff. And so when my buddy down the road showed me that he had a USS flag.
Oh, wow, yes.
Just thrown in his closet. Like, didn't look like he gave 2 thoughts about it. I was just like, I can't believe you have that. And it's not like the greatest thing. And you're not like, you know, rejoicing in the streets every day. Because you have a USS flag. I wanted that thing so bad.
Oh, wow. Yeah, there was one kid in the neighborhood that had a flag, and I remember my friend Nofrio and I, we would purposefully try to get over to his house just so we could play with it.
Yes.
He had it set up in a room. I mean, it was just like, it took up the whole room, and he had, like, jets on it and all these guys, and we were just like, can we go play at Derek's house? We want to go play at Derek's house, you know?
Absolutely. I remember looking at, like, the Sears or the JCPenney's catalog and just, like, I could, like, it can be right under my bed. And, like, I was living the fantasy of having the USS flag because G.I. Joe was my bread and butter when Star Wars, you know, went into a dark time in about 85.
Yeah.
When, you know, there just wasn't much out there and they weren't doing anything with it. I became a pretty hardcore G.I. Joe fan. And stayed that way until Star Wars came back in the mid-90s. So I'm almost complete with figure-wise from, I think, 84 to, like, 94 with G.I. Joe.
Nice. Wow.
But U.S. flag, still to this day, haven't got it. Yeah,
really?
It's a pretty penny now.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever even seen one at a local show or anything when I've gone.
One of the best toy shops, you can ask a lot of people, and probably in the nation, one of the most well-versed, knowledgeable people is a retired teacher called Lynn Houston, and she runs a toy stable, or did up until just recently. And that has, we have the lucky being that it's located here, not far from Tacoma, Washington. So her original shop is right by my college where I went, and so I would spend a lot of time with her. And she has always had one or two on hand. So,
oh, yeah. Wow.
Yeah, it's a...
Yeah, they're moving pretty... changing owners and moving real soon, right?
Yes, they are. We actually did the local collecting club, Sarlacc. We just did the our last trip to her original, or not original, but her most recent location. Because, yeah, she sold it off to a good guy named Chris, and he's moving it not far. But yeah, it's still going to be around, but it's under different owner. And but, yeah, it's great. It's great. And, yeah, she knows her stuff.
Cool. So, Jason, was there anything that you wanted as a kid that you didn't get?
I wanted the X-Wings.
Really? You didn't get an X-Wing when you were a kid?
At a garage sale, I got a broken one because the wings always broke. But you know how that is. You get the broken one, you're like, oh, man, I wish it's not the same.
which one? The gray or white?
Mine was a little yellow. It was a little yellow.
So it's probably...
It probably started out like... Yeah.
The gray is typically battle damage and usually has stickers on it that you could put on there to make it look like it dropped into Dagobah swamps. Very...
Did you ever get one, Jason?
No, I thought about getting one. Maybe if they put some new ones out, I might think about it, but I haven't seen any that I needed to have.
Well, these days you've been collecting more Transformers.
Yeah, there's nothing Star Wars yet really has caught my eye.
Yeah.
Now, can I ask a question about Transformers? Because Star Wars has been pretty slow lately on the action figure front, so I've been finding other things to get my interest going. What line is it that's doing the remakes of all the vintage Star Wars, the G.I. Joe figures? Do you know what I'm talking about? Like, is there a line out there that are making really high-quality versions of that look like the characters from when we were kids?
No, of Transformers or G.I. Joe?
Sorry, did I say G.I. Joe? I'm sorry, I meant Transformers. Yeah.
Well, that would be the Generations line, right, Jason?
The ones that look more traditional in style, not the Michael Bay version. Yeah, I think that's Generations.
Yeah.
Their packaging changes, though. It's so confusing. Like, we were talking about the toy sizes. You know, they'll have, like, Leader Class or... Supreme Class, but when you look, it's kind of arbitrary. They just, for like one season, that will mean something, but next season, now it means nothing.
And are those located everywhere? Are there special ones that you can only get exclusive, or do you know what those Generation line?
I do not know.
Okay.
From what I've found is they eventually do show up in most of the stores, like Target, Fred Meyer, and various places, Costco, but you might only ever see some figures once or twice, and then you'll never see them again. It's almost a line that if you see it and you want it, you have to buy it the day you see it, or else you'll never see it again. As opposed to the movie line stuff, which seems to be everywhere in incredible quantities that almost like nobody wants it, you know?
It's almost like no one wants them, yes.
Are you guys, what's your guys' thoughts on the new movies?
Sadness.
Okay, good. I will echo that sentiment with you.
The movies on their own were entertaining a little bit. Like 2 and 3 was okay, but they're nothing that I purchased or want to own or want to really rewatch.
Yeah.
You know, it's like that one time, okay, I'm done with it. And that last one was just way too long. It went on for, like, it could have been a half hour shorter and probably made a more solid film.
Oh, yeah. No, I could probably spend a whole nother episode just talking about the complaints that I have with the Michael Bay version of Transformers. I thought the first one was stand up. I thought he did a nice job kind of referencing what we loved about Transformers. But yeah, after that, it was just kind of, I don't know. Yeah. Like I said, I lose words when I start thinking about them.
Yeah. I think it's time to pass the torch and let somebody else do it. And see what other people can do in that Transformers universe for films.
Absolutely.
You know?
Agree.
Yeah. And so for myself, I guess answering this question, I as Jason knows, I think, mine was always the AT-AT when I was a kid. My parents like yours, Jake, they always got me all the small guys. So, and I've realized from looking through some of the catalogs, like I found old catalogs that had from the late 70s, early 80s that had these things pictured in them. And like the Christmas catalogs, you know, you'd get from Sears, or like mine was an Arden catalog. And And I would see that the stuff I didn't get was the things that broke that $20 to $25 mark. So I feel like my parents must have had a limit, and that was their limit, you know? So I got, like, all the action figures. My mother would go everywhere to find them. I remember something similar saying, like, when I saw the back of the packaging, it was like, oh, I got to have this pig guy, the Gamorrean guard, and my mom went out and tried to find him and got him for me, you know? She was really good at going out and finding them all and got us all the Ewoks when they came out and things like that, you know? And but it was that the AT-AT, we never got it. I always wanted one. From Empire Strikes Back, the minute I saw that thing, I wanted it so bad, never got it. And then that actually, the story behind the thing is that it actually is the thing that got me back into collecting. Because I think somewhere in the range of like 14, 15, 16, I got out of collecting toys and was more concentrating on, you know, hanging out with my friends. We were staying out all night, you know, meeting girls. I got a car, you know, so I started driving around. And from then till like just about getting out of high school, I wasn't really into toys. And my friend Nofrio, who was into G.I. Joe and things with me when we were kids, kind of got me back into it along with my father, because when I turned that age, he gave me an AT-AT as a gag gift. He found it at a local KB Toys up in Rochester, New York. And I believe it was around like only like $5 or something on clearance. You know, he found it on clearance. And I truly believe that he gave it to me as a gag gift, kind of being like, because he was like, oh, you always wanted this when you were a kid and never got it. And it just made me go back upstairs and open up the closet and break out all the old toys I had. And then I went to my friend Nofrio, and he was like, oh, yeah, I still got all these things, too. And it spurred us to start a business selling some of the stuff that we had that we no longer wanted to turn around and buy things that we did want to make the collections we wanted complete, you know.
Very cool. Very cool. And, oh, man, what a dream, $5 AT-AT, right?
Yeah. Now, today, you'd be like, oh, my gosh.
I guess I answered your question wrong. I forgot we're going with the Star Wars theme because I mentioned a G.I. Joe product.
That's okay. Yeah, that's
all right. But if I had to go Star Wars, it was probably Imperial Gunner. Imperial Gunner from the Power of the Force 2 line, but I never had one as a kid, but I did inherit one over time. So it was something that hung with me for a long time. It's like, man, that figure is so, so cool.
One of those last 17,
the last,
right?
17. And I didn't get it until probably 15 years ago, I'd say. So I inherited one from a friend. He's like, I'm moving to California. You want this stuff? And I'm like, yeah. So, yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah, he's one of the few that I need. I maybe need like five guys or so to have a vintage complete set loose, like on their own.
There's a couple. And then unfortunately, if they're from the Ewoks, Droids, or Last 17, they're going to cost you a few dollars.
Yeah. Everyone that I still need like Han and Carbonite. I need that Imperial Gunner guy, the EV-99, Yak Face, and a Mana Man, I think it is, something like that. And they're all, every time I try to go for them, they're always getting up to around $100, so I'm like, ugh, I can't spend that.
the secondhand prices just keep climbing. But you can find deals every once in a while, you know, it depends on where you go. Recently found a blue snaggle for like $75, and it wasn't, you know, you would think a blue snaggle tooth, which, you know, is now, you know, a pretty decent find, would be a couple hundred some places, you know. I got it for $75, and it wasn't even that thrash. So you'll find them. You'll find it.
Cool. Did you need one, or was it just like a good grab?
I think I self-manifested it, because I was talking with my buddies on our podcast saying, like, you know, I still need a blue snags. How much do you think I should pay? And they're like, man, you're not getting one for less than $150. And we went to Emerald City Comic Con that year, and we saw one that was like $180. And I was like, oh, man, I'm not paying that. And it wasn't like a week later. I said, I'm not paying anything close to that. A week later, I go to a toy shop, and sure enough, they had one. I was like, you take $75 for that? And he goes, sure, why not? So
Wow. Nice. Yeah, you don't even want to know what mine was. Back in the day, like, when I lived in New York, there used to be, like, toy shows or various small things they do in malls or whatever, basements of schools and things, and they just have guys come around with their booths. And when I saw Star Wars guys, you know, they usually just had them lumped in a box, and it said $3 each or $4 each, you know. And then I would walk up at the end of the day and just be like, you know, okay, we're closing up shop here. I'll just buy every single one you got left. And I'd buy the whole box.
Sure.
You know, and a lot of times the guys would just be like, okay, yeah, I have the whole box for $25. All right, thanks, man. Get them off my hands, you know. And in one of those buys was my blue Snaggletooth.
Nice.
And I figured that day, I'd say he was about $4 because I figured on average the number of figures I got for the price, it was about $4 each. So, but that was 25 years ago, you know.
You won't find that today unless it's some grandma or grandpa cleaning out their basement and doesn't know what they have.
Yeah, yeah. It's difficult to find. Even finding them at garage sales or even around, you don't see them anymore. People know the Star Wars figures and they know to not put them out at the garage sale, I think.
Exactly. I mean, if it's Star Wars, you know, and sometimes that works, you know, way against them because they go, oh, it's Star Wars. I have to put $25 on this. And, you know, it's probably only an $8 figure, but because they know it's Star Wars. Also what happens with, I used to really enjoy going to thrift stores like Goodwill and Value Village and places like that to look for figures. But even now they don't put figures out because they have people that are trained and they have guides of what to look for. And anything that is of value, they throw up on what they have, like, Goodwill has an auction site. So like you'll find, you know, the stuff that you would have normally been looking for is going to all be at the auction site now, and it's going to go, of course, for way more than it would have in-store. So, yeah, everyone's kind of clued in to the stuff, the vintage stuff holds value.
Well, I think Goodwill does that, but I'll tell you, I have really good luck with Value Villages around the Seattle area. I don't think Value Village does it. Like, just today I found a whole bunch of Star Wars guys. Only one of them was vintage,
though. I never find it.
But I go south. Yeah, you're south, so you should be able to see this. You know how they do those giant bags that have, like, they're $5 for a bag, and they might have, like, a 20 figures
inside of them? This is the weirdest thing right now. I am going through one I bought today. I am literally going through two Goodwill bags I bought today for $5. That is so, so funny.
Yeah, are there any vintage?
No,
I find them in those.
Vintage here. I have a 1990, early 2000 Tunnel Rat from G.I. Joe. I have a Saga Legends Wolverine and his Jim Lee X-Men outfit. I have a
the gray and the blue. Right?
I have a Batman Begins when he's got that. He's the 6-inch figure when he's training with Ra's al Ghul. Okay, so I got Bruce Wayne there. And I got three little Transformers that are missing lots of bits. And that is it. And these are all Michael Bay era Transformers. So not anything remotely you know.
And I don't know, it was about last summer or so when I was at the Value Village in Ballard, Burien, I found the a whole bunch of Black Star figures, the aliens and Lava Lock and things like that. Yeah. I find vintage things all the time there. And one of the Value Villages, I got my Iron Man number 1 from Marvel Comics back in the 60s, you know.
What?
$3. Yeah, $3.
Are you kidding?
No, I'm not kidding. Value Village is the greatest place on earth.
Okay, well,
I do a trip
once a
week. I'm
gonna have to maybe step up my Value Village game then, because
I do a round once a week. I either choose north or south, so I alternate weeks. One week I'll go north, one week I'll go south, and I generally find quite a bit.
You go down to the Puyallup one, or is that Goodwill? Oh, I don't know if it's Value Village or Goodwill, the one that used to be where the theater is in downtown Puyallup.
I'm not sure if I make it that. Okay. I go to Kent, but I'm not sure if I make it farther. That far. Yeah.
That's too funny.
Yeah. Sometimes I want to do like a big... Someday I want to do a big trip and go all the way down through Tacoma and beyond, you know, to see what I can find.
Well, you know what? I bet never gets hit because it doesn't quite have the population, but the Olympic Peninsula.
Mm.
But I bet there's treasures over there to be found.
Well, Jason, do you have anything else you want to ask Jake or talk about?
No, I think we've gone pretty far and covered a lot of ground.
Cool. Yeah, we'll just wrap it up then. Jake, thanks a lot for coming on. I really appreciate you spending some time with us and geeking out about Star Wars.
That's what I love to do.
And thanks for joining us today, Jason. And, cool. All right, well, that was another episode of the Super Awesome Geek Show. Thanks a lot for coming on, guys. Well, I'm sure I'll talk to you later on, Jake, and I'll see you at the Sarlacc
Perfect,
thing
absolutely.
Later this month, right?
You bet.
All right, cool. All right. Well, have a good night, guys, and
have a good
hope
night.
Everything goes well.
All
have
right.
a good weekend.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, see you. Bye.
Listening to the Super Awesome Geek Show with John Adams, Jason Rigdon, Eric Locke, Matt B., and Rob Clifford. The Super Awesome Geek Show is part of Kingdom of the Geeks. We put up new episodes every Friday. You can find us on iTunes and on the website at superawesomegeekshow.com. You can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/superawesomegeekshow. Follow us on Twitter at Awesome Geek Show. And if you'd like to help, you can support us on Patreon, patreon.com/superawesomegeekshow. Or make one of the purchases of our fine toys, art, and collectibles on the eBay store, stores.ebay.com/kingdomofthegeeks. All your support does help, and we really, really appreciate it. If you'd like to be on the show, just contact us, superawesomegeekshow@gmail.com. Well, that about wraps it up. Thanks a lot for listening, and see you next Friday on the Super Awesome Geek Show!